What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. This is the Backstage Report podcast for, gosh, it's gonna be March 1st by the time this goes up, but a little bit later than usual. Probably the latest I've ever done one, but still trying to find, like, you know, a smart fit for where this show is, since we have Strong Style on Mondays, or Select Style on Mondays, rather, and then Sour Graps late Monday night. So I've been doing these on Tuesdays. Man, we've had a bunch of AEW news this week. Like, I hear you guys loud and clear. You want more AEW scoops? I'm going to keep digging for it. AEW scoops have been coming more plentiful to Fightful Select. So tell the world, spread the news. Every week we've had the coaches and producers and whatnot. We've mentioned there were some segments on AEW Dynamite this past week, and who was able to produce those, or who we were able to find out produce those, including the Revolution Tag Team Battle Royale that had Tony Khan listed as one of the producers. But Jungle Boy and Christian segment was listed as a possible live segment and didn't have a producer listed. MJF and Danielson segment, we're told, ended up getting pretty physical. They really laid in their stuff there to add a lot of realism to that as well. And again, not the type of thing I usually cover, but I was given the okay to. The MJF promo about his personal relationship was true, although embellished for the sake of the promo. And last week, Fightful Select reported just before Dynamite that we didn't report that would be the announcement, but it was the announcement that AEW All Access was coming, a reality series on TBS, TNT, the Warner Networks. So got a lot of that AEW stuff coming, and we got plenty more this week. We've got interviews with Keith Lee and Ruby Soho, all that good stuff. But we also had some news that emerged after the series of dark tapings, because we got news that Ashley D'Ambois was offered an AEW contract, which is incredible news. It's wonderful news. She is a highly touted prospect. I had people in WWE and AEW speaking highly of her. She looks like $1 million. She's really dedicated herself to pro wrestling over the last couple of years. And she's one that AEW is excited to get under a deal. Don't know if it's a tiered deal or if it's a full-on contract, but that is somebody they're very excited to bring in. And they are bringing in some other talent as well on at least tiered deals. I know that for sure. A little bit of a rundown of our AEW coverage this week. Of course, we have the post-AEW show Wednesday, day after Dynamite on Thursday. We have a post-ROH show on Thursday, a post-Rampage show on Friday. Then on Sunday, we have a pay-per-view pre-show here on Select. I will have a post-show on Fightful's main feed with Julie. And then, of course, we have the Sour Graps review here on Select. We have the scrum after the show on Sunday as well. We'll be getting notes for that. But there's a media briefing on Thursday that we will be live tweeting, as the other stuff is prohibited. The live streaming is prohibited for that. More AEW news. This one came from Righteous Reg, and I was able to confirm it and add some more detail. Vicky Guerrero is set to leave All Elite Wrestling. It was confirmed to me that she and AEW, I should say, came to terms on the fact that they would not be renewing her deal. And I think that's from both sides. I think it was sort of, I don't know if it was a mutual thing, but that's the way it was presented to me. I don't know for sure if it was. But her deal is up in July, and she's going to be moving on. I don't know if she's going to continue there now, but there are people in the company that knew that she would be finishing up. So I want to give a lot of credit to Righteous Reg, who was able to lead us down the right path in that story and had some really good information that we were able to follow up on. But in the subsequent day, I gained information that one of the opportunities that she had been presented outside of AEW involved a home shopping network. I don't know if it is the home shopping network, but I know that she was presented some sort of opportunity to do some stuff on that as well. She's been tweeting a lot about betting on herself and making the most of opportunities and things of that nature. So good luck to Vicky Guerrero. Always been wonderful in my experiences with her. Billy Starks is not yet signed. I had a lot of people after the Ashley D'Ambois thing asking me about Billy Starks, because I mean, that's the one that a lot of people are looking at and saying, well, she's going to get signed somewhere. Well, I mean, that might be possible. I don't know if she's even been offered a deal, but I do know that right now she hasn't signed anywhere. Chad Gable, I don't know if you all saw our interview with him, but we've been able to double and triple up our interviews of late thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not doing an ad behind the paywall. I'm just saying, like, legitimately, that is so awesome of them that they made this a reality. Otherwise, we kind of got to budget these interviews and sort of the time allocation and the travel and all that, and they really make it possible. So big thank you to them. But Gable told me that despite his accolades in amateur wrestling, he never seriously considered an MMA career. He was a big pro wrestling fan. Like, he cited Kenta Kobashi and Mitsuharu Misawa as inspirations to him. He said he was the tape trader and all that stuff back in the day. Now he's thankful that Jason Jordan gets to produce his segments, and Jason is very helpful, has been in the ring with him, has a great understanding of his work, and said that the two were like brothers. So there's not much butting heads when Jordan produces his work. I really, really enjoyed getting to talk to Chad Gable about amateur wrestling, because I know he doesn't get to talk about that a lot in his interviews, and it's something I'm fascinated with because, man, he did it at such a high level, such a ridiculously high level that I think it's important for a lot of people to learn a little bit more about. We also spoke to Becca. We broke the news that she would be facing Rachel Ellering at a March Limitless event. She said that she got good feedback from her Lacey Evans match on SmackDown. It was her first live TV experience. She spoke about how it went down and said that Anthony Green has actually helped her out with a whole lot of great feedback. She's also hoping to work some WrestleMania weekend shows in LA. Ricky Shane Page announced he had signed with MLW recently. We have also confirmed that he will be working as a road agent with them, helping produce matches and segments. Ricky Shane Page is a really, really brilliant wrestling mind. I know that there are a lot of people that perhaps subscribe to us that aren't familiar with him or to, you know, a great extent of his work, because you know, he left GCW during the height of their popularity, and you know, it's something that he felt strongly about. And he has worked several, I want to say, probably a dozen AEW matches now, about maybe like 8 or 9. But he's worked like Matt Hardy, Daniel Garcia, Paul White, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston, Colt Cabana, Brian Cage. Like he is a guy that a lot of these really, really respected veterans want to work and want to be in the ring with because he's very, very smart. I had the pleasure of doing an interview with him. He doesn't do that many of them. And I was just, I don't want to say I was blown away with like his wrestling mind, because I've seen his work. Like, you can tell that it's just really, really good. So I think this is a brilliant hire for MLW. MLW also has Davey Boy Smith Jr. I asked him about the Goldberg-Bret Hart feud, and he's like, you know what? I understand why Bret feels that way. He did agree with me a little bit of it has to be a bit. There were some things that Bret said that popped him, but he said that he likes Bill Goldberg and wishes he could have worked with him. He thinks they would have had a different kind of match, but then said he's not taking any super kicks from him, though. He said he's very happy to be working with his cousins, the Billington Bulldogs. Said that they didn't keep in touch as often as he'd like before they came to MLW, but he's liked doing work with them, as well as Alex Kane. He spoke very highly of the creative freedom he gets in MLW, but then admitted that the No Ropes catch wrestling match was an MLW pitch to him and not one of his own. I asked it, like, would you ever re-sign with WWE considering the regime? And he paused, and you could tell it would be like a big life decision for him. He said that if he did it, it would just be for the paycheck. Doesn't believe his heart would be into the content that they produced. The last go-around, he's glad they paid him well to get in the best shape of his life, but said that doing so was also costly to him and expensive for him. And he reiterated that the gimmick that WWE had planned for him was called the Stampede Stud, that he said he was actually pretty excited for. He thought his dark matches went well, said that Vince McMahon told him he looked good. He was supposed to debut for the SmackDown brand. That didn't end up happening. Impact No Surrender this past week, Scorpio Sky and Sledge were both in attendance just visiting. Allison Kay and Marty Bell, the Hex, were also working that show. They are still free agents. They're working NWA as well. They are free to do whatever they want there. At MSL, talking MLW, He's very happy about the support of MLW on Reels. I did have it confirmed that they're working on getting that on the ML or the Reels stuff on Prime as well. He did this interview effectively as a rep for Microman, who he says is the closest thing to a real life baby Yoda. He also was talking about a pay-per-view live special. He says he's not sure where their heads are at right now, said that at some point there could be a special like that. He's going to welcome and support Richard Holiday back whenever he's ready. It's made me very happy to see the progress of Richard Holiday. That guy is just one of the best in the business, and the stuff that he's went through is just unreal. Unreal. Glad he's doing better. MSL says MLW is open to doing Fatu and Josh Alexander's rematch, but says it takes two to tango. He's spoken to Scott D'Amore, Tony Khan, and Billy Corgan at various times, but he's not particularly focused on collaborating at the moment. Big WWE SVP departure. The SVP of Talent Operations and Strategy, James Kimble, is no longer with the company, as we had reported. We're told it was an HR violation, and he was terminated immediately about a week and a half ago. Now, I want to say it was noted to us that an HR violation is fairly broad. It could mean anything. It could mean, you know, the things that people are usually thinking of. It could mean something as far as monetization or monetarily. Because when I asked about it, I was like, well, you know, I don't want to out anybody else that was affected. And it was confirmed to me like, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that anybody else was affected in that sense. But we're told that he was fired immediately. There were several WWE wrestlers and actually UFC fighters who contacted Fightful, noted they were surprised by this move. Kimmel had worked for the UFC for like a decade before he joined the WWE and worked there, helping develop talent and working in the NIL program for the last couple of years. There was one source that had worked closely with Kimble that said that they felt that he had the keys to the kingdom. And one talent said they were shocked that Kimble was out. Several others inquired about the details behind the move. He had worked closely with Triple H, but I was told this was specifically an HR thing and was not a case of Vince McMahon or anything like that disassembling Triple H's team. That was reiterated to me when I asked, because of course that's the first thing that your mind goes to, right? Is this a Vince move? But it was told to us it was an HR move. Trish Stratus, she was at the February 20th episode of Raw. Didn't end up happening. She was supposed to be on Ding Dong Hello. She ended up leaving before the segment. Obviously, she's back in the saddle with WWE. We were told creative changes happened last week. It's about all you can do there. Titus O'Neil, we spoke to him for a new interview, said that he's not tired of seeing Titus World slide. He got paid a lot of money to slide under it. He's proud of the moment, has nothing to be ashamed of. And this guy is at every WWE community event we do. I'm talking Special Olympics, he's there. Boys and Girls Club of America, he's there. Food Pantry, he's there. He is always there. I think a lot of you guys know what Titus does at this point and knows that he serves as a global ambassador. He tells me each time I see him, like he mentions, not retired, because he knows I'm going to ask, because I see him like maybe once every 6-7 months, and he hasn't wrestled in 2.5 years. But he keeps telling me he's not retired, but he is really enjoying his global ambassador work, and I don't think it can be underscored how much of that he does. We spoke to Piper Niven. It was one of her last interviews as Doudrop. She told me that she was very flattered by the fact that people mentioned her and Alba Fire as being associated with Becky Lynch, and says that she would love to make that happen if people wanted it. She's very happy to see Nikki Cross being able to do her own thing. But she talked about her recovery from COVID and said that it was very scary for her because there was no particular time frame for her to be out like other injuries. For example, JC Jane cracked her really hard in their NXT match, but she said she didn't care. She wasn't even sure she went out cold or not, but they won, and that's what mattered to her. She was hoping to do more NXT, but obviously that slowed some things down. We also talked to her about the Becky Lynch match at the Royal Rumble, which she had told me last year was very, very big for her because they had just missed each other outside of WWE, and that was a dream match for her. She said that when Becky put her in a hold, she said, the sign's on fire. And Piper replied with, hell yeah, we're on fire. That's like, what the hell are you supposed to do there? Some Raw notes. This week, Idris and Malik Blade were brought in for a pre-show dark match. There were no NXT talent brought into the town for the show last week. However, Cameron Grimes was on SmackDown. Now, I will say this. I asked if it was a case of an NXT talent being on before SmackDown, and all I was told was, well, this isn't confirming anything, but generally, we don't bring in NXT talent to work before SmackDown shows. So, great to see him back in action after 3-4 months. Liv Morgan was also planned for the SmackDown show, I think to set up her match for this week's show, but didn't end up happening. Tegan Nox was originally planned to sell a knee injury backstage on the show as well. That didn't end up happening. Fightful spoke to Omos at a 2K event. He told us that he got recruited when he was in or at University of South Florida, and a member of the football team asked him to go to breakfast with him. And Steve Kern, who was instrumental in FCW, the former Skinner, he recruited him. And after a while, after having some struggles to play pro basketball due to immigration issues, he was recommended back to WWE, reached out to Canyon Seaman, and they got him a WWE tryout. Things on the AOP, WWE, and Paul Ellering front have been very quiet of late. Some other notes, Davey Boy Smith said that MSL and Court Bauer reached out to him to make the MLW deal happen, and he's been helping John Morrison prepare for his upcoming boxing match of late. I dropped an interview with Kerry Morton on the Spotlight this week. He actually told us that he won the NWA title that he has while not being under any sort of contract, and he was flattered by the trust they put in him. As you can imagine, WWE sources we spoke to were very happy with the publicity they received from the WWE title belt they gave to the Chiefs, especially Pat Mahomes wearing it everywhere. Quite frankly, they probably would have preferred Joe Burrow, I think, is what they would have preferred. But, you know. Chelsea Green. So the week that she was in Ottawa, Illinois on the episode of Raw, she can't go back to Canada. She's from Canada, but she's trying to get her green card right now. And as a result, she is landlocked. So she cannot head back there, has not been able to head back there for a while. In fact, when I was trying to get her to tell me that she was signed months and months ago, she was like, no, I'm landlocked. I can't sign anywhere, yada, yada. But she's still not over that right now. Instead, she was at the screening for The Last Match, a pro wrestling rock musical, which starred her husband, Matt Cardona. But she was back this week, obviously. Good to see that. Hate to see her have to miss shows, but I think that WWE worked it exceptionally well. I think that ended up working out well for everybody. Masha was interviewed by the Wrestling Perspective here on Fightful. Talked about her heritage, how she never watched or paid attention to older Russian wrestling characters. She was never interested in doing the stereotypical Russian gimmick where she'd wave a flag or support the USSR. Said that she spoke about her time in Russia and industry in her native country. Said that she spoke a little bit about the different indie wrestling companies in Russia as well. Compared death matches to a nice high that you just get into. Then once you get going, everything is crisp around you. You're just hyper-focused on your next opponent. She was also very excited to face Aja Kong and to do the Carrot Cup at WXW in Germany. Oh man, guys, this past week we've had so many, we've really stepped up the volume of news, you know what I mean? So we're giving you early details on the interviews, our exclusive interviews. We're giving you producers and backstage notes for almost all these major shows. Now we've got so many of these like little news bits that we're putting them in select portions like 3 or 4 times a week now, in addition to at least, you know, one, I think, fairly significant story a day. Of course, you can't control the news cycle, but man, we are approaching 5 years on Fightful Select. We started in the spring of 2018. I fought it tooth and nail. I wanted this to be free forever, but You guys have changed the lives of a lot of people at Fightful and made it their ability, made the ability for them to cover it full time a reality. So I want to say thank you to all of you who do subscribe. It means so much. I have focused a lot more lately on the positive and the supporters than the negative. And I just want to tell you guys how much I appreciate you all. And I will not be at AEW Revolution this weekend, so I'm hanging out with you guys. I'm watching some UFC. I'm watching some AEW on TV. We're going to be here streaming. Love you guys. We're out.